Hello, I'm Travis Wayne Hurt, and you're listening to the Travis Wayne Hurt Christmas Special, the podcast. On this month's episode, my co-host Aaron Gillis and I will discuss the Travis Wayne Hurt Christmas Special again. Plus, it's the third Christmas special we made for Urbana Public Television, and you can see it on the Urbana Public Television YouTube page if you would like. After that, I'll be joined by Madeline Wolski to discuss the segment that Claw, Champagne, Ladies, Amateur Wrestling made for this special. It's going to be a good one. And I think we should start because no one really cares what I say at the beginning of these. Seriously, do you remember what I said last month? Do you remember what I said the month before that? If you do, please hit me up on Twitter. Let me know that you remember. You can find me at Jake Vogelnest. Let's go.
We're back again. It's March, and we just watched the Travis Wayne Hurt Christmas Special again, plus. Hi, Travis.
Hi. It's beautiful outside. It's March.
It's spring. Spring is here.
Well, thanks for watching this with me, Aaron.
You're welcome.
I guess we'll get into just talking about these segment by segment, unless you have any place you'd like to start.
I think I just want to note that I feel like this is becoming like a We Love Tony show because this is the first introduction of a Tony Walter film.
Tony does something in this one that I think just completely changes what we even envision the Christmas specials to be. And whenever, even when I'm talking to people about these Christmas specials, if they've never seen them, or I'm reaching out to people that I meet and I'm like, hey, are you interested in maybe making something? And they're like, well, what is it? And I go, here's a link to all of them. Don't watch the first two.
They're way different than everything after.
Yeah. But we'll get there in a few minutes because this one starts with us again.
Yes.
I know that this is one of the Christmas specials, and the next time we get to an actual December Christmas special, it will be the first time it starts without us.
Mm-hmm.
I think at this point, I was still just thinking, here's the order of things. Aaron and I will be in it. Someone will have a long segment in the middle, and we'll end with a song.
Yeah.
And so this is kind of the end of that format. But our segment is me and you sitting in the bed of a truck with cones in our head and people like throwing food into them like bozo buckets.
Yeah. And I painted Muppet versions of us on our cones.
I have a painting of that in my house still that you did. It's up in the corner.
Oh, yeah.
Of me killing Charlie Chaplin as a Muppet.
Yeah, you hate Charlie Chaplin.
Hate him. The worst. I just want to say a few things I remember about this one and then we can get to anything I might miss or that you remember.
Yeah.
I don't even know if you know this. The way I remember coming up with this segment, we started out eating gyros the first year. Very boring, not doing anything. The next year we did you and I having other people feed us spaghetti, and it was a mess. And I want to continue on with the food for whatever reason. And I was like, what can we do that's just gross or funny or weird? And what I had envisioned was like a Saw movie style trap where our heads were encased in like plexiglass cubes.
Oh, okay.
And they were filled with
gross
Cool Whip. And we had to like...
We should probably do that now.
We had to like suck it all in really quick or we would suffocate.
Oh, no.
But I didn't know how to build these cubes and I thought there was a real danger with one of us might suffocate or drown or choke. So this was the, I guess, the idea that came out of that was what's something we can actually do that's similar.
Yeah.
So our heads are still encased in a thing.
Yeah.
It's still kind of in danger with things being thrown at us. But yeah, you painted the Muppet likenesses of us on the cones, and our friends stood in the parking lot behind your old apartment and threw food into them.
Yeah. We're in t-shirts. What? When did we film this?
I mean, this was definitely filmed in December. This was back when we were never doing anything in advance. It was cold. I remember it being cold, but not so much so that we had to have jackets on.
Obviously not winter cold.
And I also think that even if it was that cold, we realized like this will be 2 minutes long and then we can warm up.
Yeah.
I do know that I rode the bus to your house that day and we end up with all this food on us and we end up soaking wet because it ends with us pouring bottles of wine into our cones to feed ourselves, which isn't wine. It's just water that I dyed.
We're not going to waste wine.
Because I already drank it all the night before this. And then I was just planning on riding the bus back home like that. But one of our friends who was in the parking lot gave me a ride in their car. It was very nice.
Thankfully.
I was trying to jot down the foods they threw as it was coming. I saw crackers, Twizzlers, and lettuce. These are things I bought specifically because I knew they wouldn't make me barf.
There was like a, and then I think our friends just pulled stuff out of our refrigerator or something, or their own refrigerators.
Yeah, I remember I saw it in here. There's a big burrito that lands on my shoulder that our friend Christina had brought as her leftovers.
And then at the very end, we get that cues us to pouring the wine on ourselves, is that we get a sub thrown at us. We knew what it was because it's going to be a really big one.
Yeah, we had told everyone just like throw the stuff as quickly as you can, but not all at once. And then once you're out of things, just throw this big fake sandwich at us and we'll know to pour the wine on ourselves.
Yeah, it was hilarious. I was again laughing the entire time.
This one's good too. You can hear the other people in the background laughing again.
Yeah.
It's great.
I wanted to say that I love your Summer Boy t-shirt.
Yeah.
That's the first thing I wrote down in all caps is Summer Boy.
Oh, maybe this is like foretelling what's about to come a few months after this one.
Ooh.
Although I know for a fact I had no intentions of making any summer Christmas specials at this point.
The other thing that I was thinking about when we were just watching this, but I don't know if I considered when we were filming it and after we were filming it, is like, were any of my neighbors just like watching us do this?
Yeah, they had to be. Like, you lived in an apartment that was a house cut up into units, but also I think there was just like an actual apartment building that you shared a parking lot with.
Yeah.
And yeah, we're just out there on a Saturday or Sunday morning, which I do remember being a problem, like worrying that we wouldn't get enough of our hungover friends over in the morning to do this.
Yeah.
But they came and it worked.
Do you have any memories of what it was like inside the cone?
Not really. Not specifically while we were sitting in there. Do you?
I have like a weird recollection of a feeling of like isolation. Like I felt alone, but I knew I wasn't.
Did you worry that like people were making fun of you while you were in there or were gonna like push you over?
No, I don't think so. I just remember because it's like so confining. All I can see is this white space and then food flying at my face. Yeah, that's the feeling memory I have.
You did great.
And I do, and at the end when I'm pouring the wine, like the cone was almost just too tall for me. And at one point I think I missed my cone and just poured it on your shoulder.
I remember I wanted to make those cones and I had to I have a huge head and it's like too big. And I was experimenting with how many pieces of poster board it would actually take to make a cone that would fit my head. And then I think you just made yours the same size. So it probably was way too big. That's the end of the first segment. And then it goes into some new people for the Christmas special this time. It's Claw, Champagne Woo! Ladies, Amateur Wrestling. One thing I've noticed about this segment, and I wanted to ask you about it. You were in Claw at this time. Your character, the Tyrannosaurus Rex, who I worked with at the time, my character of Travis Wayne Hurt, but you're not in the segment.
Yeah, I think I probably just didn't want to be, or I don't know. I think I had some weird, like weird feelings and stuff about Claw at one point, and probably around this time, and I was just like, I don't want to do it.
Yeah, I was wondering that. I know people come into and out of Claw, and I can't remember quite the timeline of things, but I was like, was Erin in Claw at this point? I bet she just had to work that night. That was my guess.
It might have been that, too. But yeah, I think I was just like, nah, I don't want to.
So you weren't there for that one. Do you remember this segment at all from seeing it throughout the years?
I do remember seeing. Yeah, I remember watching it in the past. I am really interested in that cow costume. Is like the neck also its ribs?
Is it rib? Is it a skeleton cow? Is it just a cow? I don't know.
I don't know what it is.
You'd have to ask Madeline sometime.
Yeah.
Too bad she's not here today.
She's not here right now.
We'll never find out about this cow.
If only.
But yeah, it's Claw recreating the nativity, and they have to get mad at each other and brawl, because that's what all the Claw segments are. The Champagne Ladies, Amateur Wrestlers, wrestling each other.
Yes. Virginia Dentata is the Virgin Mary.
Yep.
And then we have everybody else being the three wise men and all that. And then we have Sexy Bookmobile on the side playing music.
That was great. That was a surprise to me. I didn't know they were coming to do that, and it was wonderful.
I love Sexy Bookmobile.
I've talked to two of the people that portray Sexy Bookmobile in this recently, and they both said, like, that was probably the highlight of me being in these Christmas specials. So we just watched this, and I want to know if you caught this, because it just happens so quick, and we should have restarted, and we don't. The very first thing that happens in this is that slimy baby Jesus doll just falls out of the Virgin Mary's costume onto the floor.
Yeah.
And she picks it up and puts it back in her costume and then gives birth.
I like that part.
It never occurred to us to like start over, do another take, anything. We just said, do it. And by the end, we broke the manger. So that was all we had. Next up is what you and I kind of talked about at the beginning here, which is Tony's short movie, The Devil in Red.
Yes, I love that title screen after you get through the little introduction phase, and then it's the title screen that says The Devil in Red. It's so good with Chelsea's like legs kicking out of the car, and then the typeface over like where the car is in the color, and like the kind of dulled down colors of the film. It just looks, the color red of the dulled down colors of the film looks so good.
Tony will tell you he just straight up ripped that off from The House of the Devil,
okay.
one of our favorite movies.
It's very good.
It's great.
A very good movie too. Like, I knew I had like recollection feelings on it, but I wasn't sure where it came from. So that makes sense.
So this is a short horror movie Tony wrote. I think it's the first time anyone wrote anything for this.
Instead of just like riffing.
This became a thing that to this day I joke about with Tony, is he wrote a script for this. Dialogue, directions, he gave it to us weeks in advance. And while everyone's filming their parts, it was very obvious that no one had ever read it. And we all felt bad about it. And if you think about what Tony makes now and what he made going forward, it's mostly him by himself.
It is.
And I always go back and forth between saying it's either because he thinks we're all too bad at acting, or he was like, why am I going to write anything if they're not even going to go over it?
Sorry, Tony.
So I know a lot of things about this one. You weren't involved in it. I don't think you helped at all.
I don't really know Tony at this point.
Yeah, you know, I kind of didn't either. Friend of a friend. And he and I have definitely gotten much closer since then, mostly through working on this.
Yeah. One of the things I wrote down is, I bet Tony hated that wind.
Yeah, I was wondering that watching this. I know that he had bought a microphone to pick up audio, worried about the wind. And you can actually see it a few times in here. It shows up. And another thing I'll joke with Tony about is that the digital mic that's standing around in the shots is the sidekick to the Murder Santa, because it's on screen so much.
I don't think I noticed it.
I've seen this all so much, and I saw it for sure. And it kind of disappears and reappears in shots.
Funny.
But yeah, this is general plot of the movie. There's a charity bell ringing Santa outside of a grocery store. This woman's going in to pick up groceries to make a holiday dinner. And it's going to be at Christmas time, but you can hear the radio at the beginning saying that there's going to be no snow. It won't be a white Christmas, which is how we get to the very end of this.
Okay. Makes sense now.
Okay. So walks past the charity bell ringer, doesn't give him any change. He makes her promise that when she comes out of the store,
promise,
he'll get some change. Some of my real bad acting there. Someone Tony knew named Clara helped him make the costumes for that. They like went to Goodwill, bought some pants and a red jacket, stitched some Santa trim on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's good. I like the gold mask.
Yeah, gold Santa. Mask. I have no idea where Tony got that from or why he thought to use that, but it's still being used in the Christmas specials today. While the woman goes past, says she'll come back with change when she leaves the store, but she goes in the store and is like, you got to get this creep out of here, which leads to our friend Joanna, and she comes out, tells the Santa to leave. The Santa meets her and
what's the reasoning she tells the Santa that he has to leave?
Tax reasons.
It's a tax reason. I don't know, it's a tax thing.
Yeah, just obviously lying, which I feel like.
What's the tax thing?
I mean, that's what you, if you're the manager of a grocery store, that's what you got to do. Just like make up that you have authority and go with it.
Yeah.
It ends up costing her life, though. It's the murder Santa kills her and one of her employees, who's also her husband, Luke. One interesting thing about those kills that I want to point out, that's something you can't even see on film, which is in this podcast becoming a thing of, here's something we did, but you don't get to see it. Our friends Steffi and Johnny were doing like the blood and horror effects for this. And I woke up to Luke and do I stab him or do I cut his throat?
I think you hit him with the bell.
And it shows him like holding his throat and there's blood coming out of his mouth. They had rigged up this system where we ran a tube up the sleeve of his jacket, and when he was grabbing at his throat, they were going to pump the blood through it, so the blood was going to spray out of his throat.
Oh.
But right after we started filming, the hose became detached, and they sprayed the blood out, and it just went all over the inside of his jacket and not even out of his arm.
Oh, it sucks.
And we were filming that where Luke worked right before he went to work. So he had to work that whole day with the fake blood all over him.
Poor Luke. He should have brought an extra shirt.
Yeah. Another good thing with the special effects they're doing there that I remember just from my work on it is I'm beating one of them with the Murder Santa's bell ringer thing, beating them to death. And you can see like blood flying up. That's just one of either Steffi or Johnny laying on the ground with a squirt gun, squirting blood up at me.
So great.
Yeah. They knew what they were doing.
Yeah. You hired the right people.
So another thing about this, of working on this and it not making this Christmas special at all, I don't remember a lot of the stuff I actually shot for this. What I do remember is the entire day of filming that we lost. We were filming in that parking garage stuff. Mm-hmm. In the parking garage in downtown Champaign, and we'd never worked on anything like this ever. And we showed up that day, and we pointed out a few minutes ago, one of the conceits of this segment is that there's not going to be snow. And the day we showed up to film in that parking garage, there was a blizzard.
Oh no.
And throughout that day, like, Tony forgot something. He had to go back to his house and get it. Chelsea would forget something. We'd have to go get it. The battery on the camera kept dying because it was so cold. And I was just standing around in that parking garage all day in the snow freezing. And we literally used no footage from that entire day.
Wow.
And we're all like so distraught and so upset. And Tony, who directed this and wrote it, and Chelsea, who's the star of it, they worked together at the time at Volition. And we just went to where they worked after losing this whole day of filming and got drunk, and we stayed there too late drinking, watching stupid YouTube videos. And then the next day we got up to film the stuff at the food co-op in Urbana, and we had to start really early because we wanted to get there before customers were there, because we're like stabbing people and whatever.
Right.
I didn't have to be there for the first part. So the people that were shooting in the store, like Andrea, Joanna, Chelsea, they all got there super early and shot their stuff. And then Tony and Chelsea went to go get breakfast before I showed up. And they were just so hungover that Chelsea got up during their breakfast and went in the bathroom and threw up.
Oh, no.
And then we showed up and filmed the murder scenes.
So how long after that blizzard did that you guys end up going to film the garage scene?
So, yeah, that's what I don't remember. While I was watching it, I was like, I don't remember filming any of this. I only remember the day of freezing to death in that garage and losing all of it. But I know we filmed it eventually because it's in this Christmas special.
Yeah, obviously.
And you can see that there's no snow in it.
Right.
When we're filming the stuff at the food co-op and in the parking lot there, killing Joanna and Luke, the stuff where I'm begging Chelsea for change, you can just see the snow in the parking lot.
Oh, yeah. Now that you're saying that, I think, yeah.
But then when we're filming the stuff of me pursuing her and trying to kill her or get the change from her, no snow. So it's one of those Midwest things, you know, where we get a really bad snow, and it's the first snow, and it all melts away because it was 50 degrees again.
That actually makes sense now that you're saying that, because in the end part, when you're chasing her through the parking lot, and she goes, parking garage, and she goes, drops all of her stuff on the ground right before she gets to her car, and she goes in through the window, and the thing that she grabs is the mashed potato box.
Right.
And then she goes out to the other door and runs, and you get a shot of her running, and you can clearly see that she has her purse with her. So that must have been one of the throwaway bad parking garage scenes, or a different, or maybe it was during this, but it's like she had her purse with her in that moment when she didn't grab it when she was going through the car.
Interesting.
Yeah, so I don't know. Maybe it was a while ago and they forgot.
I think, yeah, I'm just going to say Tony did it on purpose to make people wonder where that purse came from. There's a break, though. We talked about the smashing someone's head with a bell, the blood spraying up in the air, and then this cuts to a commercial interruption.
The bro-cercise.
The bro exercises.
Bro exercises. I couldn't figure out how to say it.
They're back, and if you notice this time, Kyle's not there. He's on a computer.
Yes.
Bro exercising with his bro.
It's so cute.
It's great, right?
Yeah.
But they're not together.
No.
Not yet.
Not yet. I like that at the end it says the price is $13.99, and then very small in parentheses it says 200 payments of.
Perfect.
It's very expensive.
Man, I wish that we did get that money from making these. I could use 200 installments of $14.
Yeah, for sure. Me too.
So there's the bro exercises commercial, and then another commercial or QVC home shopping segment. And we're back again with Tony and Travis. Something I wonder when I watch these is Travis says his name in this one and in the other one. And I think it even says bills him as the host.
Mm-hmm.
And I wonder if anyone that only kind of knows us or only knows him who watches this thinks that he's Travis Wayne Hurt.
If they don't watch it through to the end, they might, because at the end you say who you are.
Right, but you know this from watching these, that people don't watch all of it.
True.
They watch the thing with the person they know.
True.
So it's always a weird thing. That's why I've, at the end when I'm thanking everyone and when Travis has been in these, I always say the other Travis.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, this one, it's the Sissy Pot 2.0. It's been upgraded, so it's not just ham water anymore. They got turkey and steak water.
Yeah, but it's not one at a time. It's all of them combined.
Or random. I don't think they ever quite hammer out what it does.
Tony is so drunk in this. It's really what I want to talk about.
Talk about it.
It's just, he's so all over the place. I like it at one point. He picked up his cup that had whiskey in it, I assume, because it was a dark brown color. And he drank all of it and he put it down, and then he wanted to drink more later, and he picked it up and saw that it was empty and then still tried to drink it anyway.
The thing I like about Tony being drunk here is what he's trying to describe that the sissy putt's better now.
Yeah.
And he said, I wrote it down, he wrote, "It's real hard to get better than perfect."
Yeah. I wrote the quote down. People are dumb.
Yeah, I think maybe he had, I mean, it's all conjecture here because he's not here to tell us what he was doing. But I think maybe he had ideas of what he wanted to do. Like, oh, people are dumb, we can rip them off. But then he gives up on that thread.
Yeah, he goes, people are dumb, and then goes, sorry.
Or they mention here that you give this to your enemies.
Yeah.
I don't think that's ever explored.
And this, they talk about how the Sissy Pot 1 is one that you can find it in the back of your toilet. It's where if you don't want to pay for it, you can just find it there. And they refer to it when they're describing Sissy Pot 1, and then Sissy Pot 2.0, they describe Sissy Pot 1 as toilet back ham water.
Perfect. They do mention something about this pot here that I know Tony has used going forward, which is that the flavors for it come by soaking it in blood.
Yes.
To this day, when this pot shows up in the Christmas specials, it's always brought up with soaking it in blood.
It's very good.
I think that's the end of that part, and then it goes back to the Devil in Red horror movie. There's music in this from a band in Champaign-Urbana at the time called The Fights.
I love The Fights.
Great band.
They're so good.
This is an example of us not knowing how to make things. Tony knew he wanted to use their music in this. And we don't know how to make things. We don't know how to ask people how to use stuff, even though they're, in theory, our friends or friends of friends. So Tony contacted their record label, Parasol. like wrote them a nice email. It was like, hey, we make this thing for Urbana Public Television with the artists in our community, and we're just wondering if we could maybe use some of your music. And at the time, I was working with the partner of Cole, the singer of The Fights, and she messaged me at work one day. I was like, Cole thinks it's really nice that your friend Tony is so professional about this. He really appreciates Tony's professionalism.
Aww.
And they let us use the music.
Yeah, Tony is really nice and professional.
Yeah, he is. The most professional, as we just talked about him being drunk for 5 minutes. But yeah, we're back into the horror movie. Kills them. Chelsea comes out of the store, doesn't give the charity bell ringer the change. So it starts the pursuit of him trying to kill her.
Yeah.
Or get the change. I don't know what it was supposed to be.
Yeah, I don't know.
But he chases her through the parking garage, chases her back down the stairwell. A thing that doesn't make the Christmas special is the stairwell again. There's a part of it where Chelsea wipes out and falls down the stairs. Mm-hmm. And we were trying to like represent, show away on film that she's falling down the stairs. And Tony had brought a hamster ball and like rigged up this padding inside of it so that the camera wouldn't move. And we could wedge the camera into the hamster ball and push it down the stairs. And I had to be the one doing it because if she sees anyone on the stairs while she's falling, it would be me at the top in the Murder Santa outfit. And we just... forever, so many times, kept pushing this hamster ball down these stairs, and every time the battery pack would just spring out of the camera and turn the camera off.
Sucks. So that would have been so good.
Two other things from the stairwell. We ended up in there for a long time. There's a part where Chelsea slips on the cranberry sauce to fall down the stairs. She went for it. You can see her wipe out.
Yeah.
And I think the first time she did it, we didn't know she was going to act that hard. And so it just became like a fear of like, she's going to fall down these stairs. So I remember like standing on the stairs in case she went too hard and then I could like try to catch her.
Oh,
gosh. Chelsea is a trooper in these.
She is. I also, just going back to that cranberry sauce, I commented when we were watching it that I love it when it fell out and it smashed so hard that the top popped off. It's a can. Uh-huh. It's a can of cranberry sauce and it just popped open. It's like, that does not happen when a can drops.
Right after that, she's running through the parking garage with the bags of food, and you can see a bottle of barbecue sauce fall out and break.
Yep.
If only that would have really happened with the can.
That would have been good.
Chelsea falls down the stairs. When she falls down the stairs, the last bit of the grocery she's holding is this box of instant mashed potatoes, which flies into the air. And then throughout the rest of this segment, it's falling through the air like snow. So we finally have our white Christmas that we weren't going to have.
Did not get that.
And then she sees a quarter. Is she going to give it to the charity Santa? We don't know.
She tries to.
It's over. The end.
Yeah, I did not. I didn't catch on about the... I was made the comment to Travis. Why is it snowing in that closed off stairwell? I was so confused.
Yeah, this is a thing that I've realized working on these is like, if you're the person writing this and you're the person conceiving of it, it makes sense to you. And then people watch it and completely miss the thing that tells you what's happening. And I think that we don't know how to make things, you know? It's like the thing that becomes more and more apparent each time.
Yeah.
And this is a good example of that. Like, I caught on to the radio announcer saying there's not going to be snow. But I don't know if it's because I helped work on it.
Well, yeah. I mean, I heard that and I recognized that. And I was like, oh, yep. Sometimes my thought process was, yeah, sometimes we don't have snow on Christmas. It's just one of those winters, I guess. But it didn't cross over in my brain when I saw and then when we were watching her shop in the grocery store, I just remember being like, mashed potatoes, box of mashed potatoes. I was seeing everything, but it just was not connecting in my brain.
I like that she's walking around the food co-op in Urbana just jamming out to Sublime.
Yeah.
Perfect. That's some Urbana stuff right there.
Sure is.
So this is the third Christmas special, and I've kind of conceived of these things as variety shows up to this segment with bands in them. The second installment didn't have bands, and I know for a fact this time I was like, I have to have a band in this. And so we end up with two different bands doing, giving us songs and making kind of music videos. The first one that we have is Our Landmark. The way I got them to do this, the singer in that band, Justin, he was in a band, The Chemicals, that I was friends with. And I just like sent their Facebook profile a message like, hey, we do this Christmas special. Would you guys ever want to do anything? And their drummer, Andy, messaged me back and he was like, I don't live there anymore. Let me ask Justin. And I got put in touch with Justin and we got his new band, Our Landmark. But he had just like told me they were the Chemicals 2.0 or whatever. So in this, I don't even call them Our Landmark. I call them the wrong band name and I've always felt bad about it. Working on this segment, there's a few good notes here. I've always kind of romanticized this Christmas special in my brain as the last one that I worked hard on because I was there for our segment. I took the camera from Urbana Public Television. I went over to your house. We did that. I rode the bus over to the house in Champaign to film the Our Landmark segment. I was freezing to death in a parking garage, losing a whole day filming Tony's segment, and then filming multiple more days on Tony's segment. And then I even do the camera work for the bookmobile segment at the end. And it's just like, it was hard work, but it's also a really good memory of going all over this town and helping different people do different things. And going forward, I don't do as much of that, which is good and bad for me.
Yeah. Now Tony does all of it.
And it's better. It's better because of that.
Yeah.
This, our landmark segment, the main idea for the music video is there's these two Santa Clauses that are being ultra competitive with each other. You can see them arm wrestling or playing ping pong or gambling. I don't know why they're doing that. To be the better Santa? I don't know.
Yeah, I guess. Because then at the end, they shake hands and hug.
And exchange hats.
Yeah, they trade hats, which are the exact same hat, I think.
I do know that at least one of those Santa costumes, if not both, belong to the city of Rantoul. Like, it's what they use for their functions.
How do you know that?
Because one of the people in that garage worked for the city at the time and brought those costumes. Another thing in this segment that stuck out to me is that almost everyone's wearing NBA jerseys in the garage.
Yeah.
And it's a thing because at that time, I, as Travis Wayne Hurt in real life, wore NBA jerseys almost every day. So I think that they were just like pointing that out.
Yeah.
The last thing I have for that one, you can see this like effect over it from time to time. It's like red and green lights.
Oh, yeah.
And it almost looks superimposed, but it's not. It was just a decoration one of them had for their house. And yeah, we were pointing it at people and blinding them the entire night.
Yeah, I saw at one point in it, you can see them somebody messing with it.
Next up, the first thing we ever get from our friend Laurel. She makes this stop motion animated thing.
When I was watching that, all I could think about was how hard it must be to make stop motion animation.
Yeah, I worked with Laurel at the time. I didn't even know her before this year, really. And I think I kind of bullied her into it. I remember she wasn't doing it. And the very last day when I actually had to go to Urbana Public Television and turn everything in, she left a USB drive on my desk that had this on it. And that's also where the music in this is music that I don't even know who the song's by or where it's from or anything. It's kind of the only bit of content we've ever had in here that either didn't come to us from a royalty-free site or didn't come from someone we know. And I was just like so desperate to have this in there because I got it so last minute that I didn't even worry about it. But I still don't know what that song is.
Well, you'll have to ask.
The two things I do like in the stop motion segment that are like examples of, again, us not knowing what we're doing. She has this bit with a big chunk of ice.
Yeah.
You can see it melting throughout. And then also the Santa Claus that's made out of clay. Throughout the day of her positioning him and repositioning him, his beard just eventually turns red from working with the clay.
Yeah.
Really good. Thank you, Laurel.
It was wonderful. I kept thinking about how cute the little walruses were.
Yeah. The final segment we have here is Bookmobile. They're back. They weren't in the second one. Like I said, I wanted to make getting music in this one a priority. We had the Our Landmark video. Bookmobile was basically a music video for Claw because they did the music for that.
Right. And then Laurel's thing was essentially Yeah. Maybe a little bit of a music video too.
Right. And then a bookmobile music video.
So many music videos.
For I Turned Into a Werewolf on Christmas.
Oh, so good. I just wrote A+.
A+. One thing with bookmobile here is it's a thing I learned with working on Trevor specifically for this one, is that we're doing the Claw segment. In theory, we're just like, we'll use a bookmobile song. Bookmobile plays all the music at the Claw shows. It'll be fine. And Bookmobile had recorded a whole album at this point that they still hadn't released. And when, as I was asking Trevor, like, oh, do you think we could use a Bookmobile song for the Claw segment? He was like, well, we don't have anything. And I was like, you have a whole album of stuff you haven't put out. And this is when I kind of learned from working with Trevor and working with Luke, the drummer, it's really important for Trevor to make something new for the Christmas special. If it's for the Christmas special, he wants to make something for the Christmas special. So they recorded the song specifically for Claw for this, and they recorded a new Christmas song, their second Christmas song.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's great. I appreciate the effort. But yeah, we filmed this at their practice space in Urbana. Luke, I think, conceived of the idea for it. He's the drummer in here. Just starting out with narration with like a cloud going over a moon. It's a full moon on Christmas and I'm going to turn into a werewolf.
Yeah.
The only other bit of storyboarding type of stuff that I remember is they wanted to have this whole bit where they're like creeping through the parking lot and they start out as bookmobile and then turn into the werewolves. But we're filming this at like 11 o'clock at night. There's no lights out there. So we filmed it all. And then when I went to edit it together at Urbana Public Television with Jason, you just couldn't see what was happening. So all of that footage and storyline for the music video just becomes like a 1 second thing of them climbing up this fire escape.
Yeah, because the first one is just them walking at night. Well, that was really well lit with their instruments, sort of. And then walking up the fire escape as werewolves.
Yep.
Or the stairwell, not fire escape.
And then they're just playing the song as a bunch of wolves.
It's great. And they howl. I do think that, I really think that Jared must have put some white makeup on because he looks so pale.
We were watching this and Aaron was like, I think Jared did a really good job with that pale makeup on. And I was like, I think that's just Jared, the... Jared's the bass player for Bookmobile.
I think he's usually got a little bit more pink in his skin. That looked so like white.
It was winter and we don't know how to light things.
True.
I thank everyone. Like I was still doing at the time. Yeah, we take those cones off.
Cones off and are just we are laughing separately and then we look at each other and laugh harder.
I like that when we pull the cones off, the food and the wine that was in there just pours out and gets grosser. So that's it for the Travis Wainwright Christmas special again. You just watched it. What stands out to you as the best thing about it?
Oh, I really do enjoy all the music parts, actually. I think my favorite is the I Turned Into a Werewolf on Christmas.
They made a bunch of holiday. They made the holiday songs for this. And then one of their best songs that they ever had, in my opinion, was about Mother's Day.
Yes, their holiday themed songs are amazing.
That's all we have for this one.
Yeah.
Thanks, Aaron.
Thanks. It's been fun.
See you in a month.
Yep. April. Ooh, Santa, Santa.
Ooh, Santa, Santa. So I'm here with Madeline Wolski, and we're going to discuss the segment that Claw, Champagne Ladies Amateur Wrestling, made for the Travis Wainwright Christmas special again, plus the third installment. Hi, Madeline.
Hello, Travis. Thank you for having me today.
Yeah, thanks for letting me sit at your dining room table with your dog.
Always welcome.
This is the first segment Claw did for the Christmas specials. Do you want to talk about Claw at all or let people know what that is or how you got involved?
Absolutely. So Champagne Ladies Amateur Wrestling was started in, I believe, 2015 by Joanna Troutman-Bergtrotter, Melanie Sheckles, Andrea Black, and a lot of their amazing friends. And I joined in their first round, I think, because I thought they were really cool. I hadn't even seen them perform or anything. I just knew Joanna's husband from work, and I was like, he's really, really nice. I bet Joanna's going to be really nice, too. Lo and behold, she fucking is. So, I tried out and I remember being really nervous and joined and then knew I wanted to be a librarian character. So the Dewey Decimator was born and it turned into me being, I think, the biggest heel we've had.
Yeah, you're my favorite heel claw character for sure.
I'm also my favorite heel claw character.
We've talked about this a little bit after shows. Been like, we're the best.
We're the best. Yeah. The best at being bad.
Hopefully no one else from Claw's listening to hear us brag.
Probably not. It's pretty niche. Definitely not within the friend group.
Right. Realistically, these are the only people listening to the podcast are the people who've worked on the Christmas specials. But yeah, I remember I met you at the first Claw show, I think. You were like, an intern, basically.
I was. It was at Mike and Molly's, RIP. And I remember just being shuffled behind the gear table, I guess. And I think I was given a button. And I really just loved that. But I was very proud. Very much like bright-eyed, bushy-tailed. Just like, wow, look at these cool kids.
That's good payment, a button.
I still have it. I'm pretty sure.
So, yeah, I was also involved from Claw since the beginning. And when we were working on these Christmas specials, it eventually got to the point where we were making the specials and Claw existed at the same time. And I just asked Claw if they wanted to make something. Do you have any memories about how this specific segment came about? Because I don't remember much about doing it.
I do because the space that we were using to film this was Amanda McWilliams' office space at the time. So Amanda McWilliams was Kiki Carrington III, and she was also a wonderful heel. Honestly, that was one of the best wrestling matches that I had was with her. All of them are the best, but hers was really fun because we also got to beat up Bookmobile. And so the space upstairs was already really small. And I remember us kind of like, oh, it's going to be a nativity thing. And I'm lucky enough to have a mom who's really invested in costuming, especially for my younger sister. Emma was really into her high school's like theater department. So we always have costumes at my parents' house. And me being from Champaign-Urbana, I was like, well, I've got to dig deep into there. So when I said, I'm just going to be a cow, they're all just like, yeah, I guess that works. Because it's just a nativity scene. And I'm like, well, we got to have animals.
Yeah, I was rewatching the video earlier this week just to brush up on it, I guess. And yeah, you can see all the characters from the nativity that are there, like Mary and Joseph. And there's an angel and a star.
And of course, a star. Yeah.
And a cow from the Bible.
You got to have one animal at least. I mean, it's a barn. That's where Jesus, he was born in a barn.
Right.
And I remember when we were putting everything together, I think it was Joanna and Melanie who had made the drywall manger. I'm not positive, but we were setting everything up. We were really careful to put like lots of tarps down on the ground because it was carpet. And they had covered this baby doll they got at the store with a mixture of jelly and I think lube. I'm not sure. But it was a substance that essentially was lube. And it was so funny because nobody could actually like hold this baby because it was so slippery. So I think like, so Virginia Dentata was Mary. And so her whole hot costume is just a giant vagina with teeth. It's beautiful. Great big lips. And I think 4 or 5 times, baby Jesus just like spurted out different periods.
So yeah, that's how this segment starts, is she's supposed to be giving birth to the baby Jesus out of her beautiful big lips, as you said, and the baby just falls out of her costume because it was too slippery. And then instead of starting over, she just quickly picks it up, puts it back in her costume, and then births it out.
Yes. Well, even Andrea was playing Joseph as robotic character.
Rusty Bazongas.
And even she couldn't grasp hold of the baby. So I think you had to like lower the camera so it could just be like, we're just gonna like hover around it. This is a
So that we're mentioning these character names, and that is another thing about this segment, is that all of you are in your Claw costumes.
Yes.
And then over the top of that you have your nativity costumes.
Yeah, so it's fun because everyone's playing their character while playing if our characters were playing these nativity characters or individuals. I'm not sure.
All right. And then basically they give birth to Jesus, and then they invite the three wise men over to start celebrating the birth of our Savior. And they come through. There's a little elf played by
Christina.
Right.
So Thighmaster. And then Melanie Shekels is Cher Noble, but I forget who. I believe she was a wise man. Or no, she was the star. Yeah, the star. And I think, yep, Whammy Faye Baker, Rebecca, was playing a wise man as well. And then we had Jen Iverson. She was Stone Cold Jane Austen was her wrestling character, and she was also a wise man, but she's the one who gets the party going.
Yeah, because the gift she brings to the baby Jesus is a 30 pack of Pabst that she then pours all over the baby.
Well, after shaking it up though first, it's not just a tepid pour. It's quite spirited.
And then that infuriates everyone there and a fight breaks out, which happens to be how all of the claw segments we've done end.
Yes. It's really fun.
It's a wrestling promotion, so you want to have a fight.
Absolutely. And I think we all just kind of really enjoy the chaos. It's just fun.
Yeah, it's good that you mentioned the manger made out of drywall that gets broken and used as a weapon all of a sudden.
Yeah, you don't think drywall would hurt, but if it's slammed against your head, I guess it does. And it you want it also to like break apart better.
That is something I noticed. Some people are like pulling how hard they hit with it so it doesn't hurt, and some people are trying to break it. And it also seems like you're getting hit the most. And I don't know if you're just standing near the more violent people and there's no room to maneuver, or if they were hazing you because you were the new one.
God, I hope I was being hazed. That makes it a better story.
Talking about hitting people with that drywall, this is just like something I remember from shooting this. We shot the whole thing in one shot on the tripod, and then I knew that we would need to have a couple cut-in shots just for editing so we could lengthen or shorten it if we needed to. And one of those cut-in shots is Joanna, who's the slice, a giant pizza slice, hitting someone with some of that drywall, and she hits them very hard and just like starts apologizing in the shot. Yes. And that's still in there.
I love how you can see just the eyebrows just immediately raise, like the, oh my God.
And I couldn't tell who she was hitting because they're not in the shot. I don't know if it was you or if someone else, but too hard to remember.
I'm not positive.
The other thing in here that we haven't mentioned yet is you mentioned Joanna's husband, Luke, and beating up the band Bookmobile. They were, at the time at least, the house band for Claw.
Right.
And they'd also worked on all these Christmas specials so far. And they did a cover of Silent Night for this segment specifically.
Yes.
And then I don't know if they weren't available to film or what, but three other of our friends came just dressed up as them.
I honestly don't remember. I don't think I was involved in that, but I feel as though they might have been available, but because they were in other aspects of this Christmas special, I don't know. I think, yeah, we wanted to be all women too.
Yeah, so the friends who got involved are Lena, Anna, and Anastasia. And they're just dressed up as a gender-swapped Bookmobile. And I also that night didn't know they were coming. So it was like a very good surprise to me. Like, oh, here's this great stand-in for Bookmobile and more friends.
Yes. It was really fun.
I'm going to tell you this, and I don't know if it'll say in the podcast for this part or if Aaron and I will talk about it. But Lena, who's playing the version of Luke, she was interviewing for a job as a professor at a college one time. And at this point, someone had started putting all of these Christmas specials on IMDb. So when they were researching her, this came up. And she's credited as Sexy Luke. So in her interview, they're like, so tell us about Sexy Luke.
Was she aware that's how she was being?
She told me she didn't know.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah, because our friend who put these on IMDb kind of didn't tell anyone, and we didn't check with anyone. So now, I mean, you probably have an IMDb page just in case you didn't know.
Oh, wow. I hope I'm listed as the cow.
Cow. Dewey Decimator, the cow.
As the cow. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that's really funny. I like that.
So, yeah, it just ends in a brawl. You guys all take each other out. And then Melanie, as the star, ends up handing out beers to Bookmobile once everyone's knocked out and everyone kind of walks off.
Yeah, I think she tries to take the baby again, but the jelly was a factor.
This is a thing that only I know because I found out days after this. So this segment ends. Anna, who's playing the version of Trevor from Bookmobile, who even made a fake tattoo to copy his tattoo on his stomach that says Danville. As she's walking off, she kicks, and what she's kicking is the baby Jesus, and that doll covered in the lube and the jelly flew, and it hits the tripod that the camera was on, and I didn't register that at the time, and then later on when I went to take the equipment back to Urbana Public Television, like, the jelly had hardened on the stand, and I couldn't get the legs to work again, and I had to, like, clean it, but I didn't know until days later.
I thought that'd be a really good adhesive. Hardened jelly lube.
Yeah, it worked.
It worked.
It was like glue.
Yeah. Oh, gosh.
So that's really all I have about this specific segment. Do you have any other specific things about it you wanted to talk about or any memories of it I didn't quite hit on? Because I didn't have much to do with the planning of this one at all.
Yeah, I guess my favorite memory was, I don't know if it was my idea or Jen's idea, but it felt very organic, but I asked her to jump on my back and I wanted like a rearing moment. I think at that time my husband was really into watching lots of Westerns. It's still a continuation, but I was like, I just really want like a rearing cow scene. And I got it. And
yeah,
it's great. We used
that for one of the shots to cut in when we wanted to edit in here. And I had to like lay down. This was after we'd filmed everything and there's just a mess. There's beer spilled everywhere. The jelly from the baby, the debris from the drywall, and I had to lay down in it and film up at you guys to get the shot.
Sacrifice of an artist.
Oh yeah. I mean, otherwise I just stood next to the tripod, so I didn't really do much other than that.
Hot dog.
Hot what?
Hot dog. I don't
hot
know.
Hot dog. Hot dog. So outside of just talking about this segment, I am gonna have standard questions I'm asking all of the guests on the podcast, so we'll get to those now. First up, you've been involved in many of these Christmas specials, I think almost all with Claw. Did you do anything outside of Claw?
No, only Claw.
And so throughout the years, I think Claw did three segments that you may have worked on.
Yes, this I was involved with three.
The one at your house, which ended in a fight, and the one that's a gift exchange that ended in a fight.
Classic.
Out of working on all three of those, what's kind of your fondest memory of working on the Travis Wainwright Christmas specials throughout the years?
I'd say I had so much fun having the food fight at my old house. I've always wanted to have a food fight. And this gave like the perfect opportunity. I mean, we had like shaving cream pies. We had tons of corn, which I don't know why corn's a must in food fights, but it really is. And it was just fun. It wasn't, I mean, and it was a really easy cleanup too, but it's just, I feel like there's not a lot of opportunities for people to just get together and be goofy. And this was the best one ever. And that's just, I don't know, the most fun. Like, I mean, I'm sure my family and friends were just, cause I would only be talking about the Christmas special for like days on end afterwards. But yeah.
Thanks for letting us trash your house that day.
Oh, it was a rental. It was fine.
And then the other question I'm going to have for all of our guests is, without any concerns for the budget involved or how talented the people working on the Christmas specials are, what is a segment you would have liked to have made in an ideal world?
In an ideal world, I would want to have a ghost story, something with my chickens. I think chickens are kind of terrifying, especially mine. They kill each other sometimes. I don't think it's healthy, but I try not to judge. But I feel like it'd just be so great to kind of twist it and combine with like a different holiday. I don't know. I just imagine if I had like any special effect, I mean, especially because I really like lots of blood and stuff whenever I'm performing for Claw. So I would want to erupt from a chicken, but as Santa. And I don't know, probably do something super evil and violent. And then I want like shots of the other people involved, just like completely scarred and spookied. spookied, scared. That's a better word. But I think it would be really fun to play on a lot of the horror themes that you've seen previously. Or if I don't want to do horror, underwater. It'd be an underwater Christmas special.
Like water dancing?
Yes.
Okay.
Think scarves, lots of bubbles, seahorses naturally, tons of seals. I literally love seals. Yeah, I think that would be really fun. Underwater Christmas.
So throughout this podcast, I'm in every episode. I talk a lot. Most of the thoughts for it are coming from my brain. And to prevent that from happening, I'm going to have the guest each month ask a question for a future guest. And the person asking a question for you was last month's guest, Lindsay Jane Markle. And here's that question now.
Okay, my question for Madeline is this. In my experience, it's a very interesting thing to record yourself doing anything and then watch it back, because the experience like feels one way to you in the moment, and a photo or like a video or whatever can only capture so much. And it's also capturing your like physical form, which can be weird. When you first saw yourself in the Travis Wainhart Christmas special, what was your initial reaction? Was it joy? There I am. Was it horror? Oh my God, there I am. Was it surprise? Was it, oh my God, my hair looks like that? What was your reaction?
So my initial reaction was just being reminded of how fun it was. I think in the later iterations of this Christmas special, I'm more focused on like the script, but the first one we did, there was no script and it was just chaotic fun. So I didn't really think about the performance itself. I just knew that, you know what? I'm gonna fuck shit up as a cow and maybe get hit by some drywall and it'll be fun. And then afterwards, we'll probably get beers or something. But watching it, it's weird. I think I enjoy watching the first one more so than others because you can't really see my face and it's fun knowing that I'm involved but not having that kind of larger role. But it's uncomfortable but enjoyable, especially if I'm watching it with others who don't share a similar humor to mine. I might have shown my parents the first Christmas special of the nativity scene, and they are religious.
Yeah.
And they asked me to turn it off in the middle. And I just showed them a claw clip just because I was like, look, I used the costume that you made, Mom. But I still enjoy watching it. But I guess, yeah, it's just this first one. It's just kind of, it's a reminder of how much fun I had.
All right. Well, thanks, Madeline.
Yeah.
It's Christmas. It's Christmas.
Thank you for listening to the Travis Wainhart Christmas Special, the podcast. Thanks to my co-host, Aaron Gillis, and our special guest, Madeline Wolski. Our theme music is by Bookmobile. They can be found at badboysofbookmobile.bandcamp.com. And our interstitial music is by Curb Service, who can be found at curbservicemusic.com. Curb Service has a new single out called Take It From Me, and I assume he's going to let us use it in our next Christmas special. Thanks, Larry. Join us again next month as Aaron and I discuss, well, just tune in next month. It's going to be a special episode. See you in hell. My name's Travis Wainhart. If anyone out there would like to give me a ride home, I think that'd be real nice.
Touching this toilet with my leg.